We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Friday. This is a good song.
This is a good song. It's beautiful out, too. No clouds in the sky.
Is August the best weather month?
Well, if we're going to stick with fall as elite, I think it can't be. Doesn't October have to be the answer? Or September?
No. I mean, fall is about more than just the weather.
Fair.
It's a season. It's more than just weather.
I think September is maybe... September is a little cooler.
Yep.
So I think September. I've got more hoodie than I have in August. August, very little. September, especially by the back half, like at night, you're probably wearing the hoodie. So I think September.
Like right now, we've got shorts during the day if you want.
Yeah.
Swim, sit outside, get sun. And then at night, maybe a fire, a hoodie, mm-hmm. pants, sleeping weather, open the window and sleep, you know.
Yeah.
July is hot.
July's too hot.
June had some heat to it. And right about now, it feels like oppressive heat is in the rearview mirror. So, yeah. No, fall's...
August, though, would be, like, top five.
Top five.
Or top three, even.
You, 12 months. You would probably go August, September, July for some, October for others.
Uh-huh.
June, May, November, April stinks.
April may be last.
March is worst.
Rainy and... Yeah, rainy and muddy. That's March and April.
Yeah.
Dead last. I'd take the snow. So, December is above that, I think.
Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase. So, quick preseason football thing. I've got a new theory I'm working on. Mm-hmm. I've also got a couple other candidates for you to decide whether or not they are legends or not.
Okay. I'm in.
We'll get to that in a minute. If you want to call on that, that's great. We've got a bunch of tweets. Joe decides if someone's a legend. It's the new segment. Joe decides if someone's a legend. Before that, though, I've got a quick, I have a brand new theory on the preseason, and it's just this. The better your team is, the less you care about it. And you shouldn't care about it no matter what, pretty much. Pretty close to meaningless. Yep. But when you're in transition, when you're bad, the Bears, right? They want to see what Matt Eberflus is going to do. They want to see Justin Fields' complete passes. I'm thinking about the Patriots here a little bit. Mac Jones didn't play. Matt Ryan's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along the way, the Colts decided it's important for Matt Ryan to get experience in our offense. And the Patriots, granted, he's been with the Patriots, he doesn't need it right now, even though they changed their coordinators. I can think back to Bills games in years past. Like, Tom Brady doesn't need to play in the preseason. Trent Edwards, he probably should. He needs reps. All this boils down to what happened in Tennessee last night between the Titans and the Ravens. Not the story about the Ravens winning their 21st in a row, but Malik Willis. So Malik Willis, third-round draft pick, quarterback, you know, will he be their quarterback of the future? You never know. A third-round pick is no guarantee that he ever will. But he got a little bit of playing time, and he definitely made some interesting plays, some really good plays. He ran for a touchdown, made it happen himself. He connected on a deep ball. He threw a sidearm pass when pressured. There were some good spots. He was also, for lack of a better term, something you don't often expect to hear in the preseason, he was benched for a decision, flat out pulled out of the game for one play. He ran the ball when Mike Vrabel wanted him to pass it. And Vrabel said, I wanted him to throw it, and he ran it, so we pulled him out, and we put in they put in Logan Woodside.
His exact quote was, I wanted Malik to throw the ball, and he wasn't, so I put Logan in. He needs to try to throw the ball when guys are open.
Okay, maybe not one play, but the body of work. He didn't throw, he ran.
Yep.
7.6 yards per carry while running, Malik Willis, and Logan Woodside went in and passed for like 4 yards an attempt.
I don't think he'll ever succeed there with that coach.
Malik Willis?
Yeah. That's not that I would have assumed Vrabel is the type of coach you'd want with a quarterback like that anyway, but you gotta be like, how did the Bills operate when Allen showed up and started running? Like, maybe they were coaching him on the side to throw the ball down the field more, or, you know, try to create more in the pocket or scramble to throw, not scramble to scramble, but felt like he showed up his rookie year and he just like, you know what, you want to run, do whatever you want. And like, you'll figure it out at some point. Like, we'll get the passing down.
Yep.
And it feels like here they're not giving Willis, in the preseason, they're not giving Willis the flexibility to just go out there and play.
His first ever appearance in the preseason.
Right.
And it's, we're taking him out because we want him to throw, and he's not throwing it.
Because now, what are you doing to the player? You've the next time he goes in,
yep.
His instinct might say, "Okay, I can take off and run here. I can get 20 yards," and he might go, "Coach isn't going to like this. So let me try to fit this throw in 25 yards down the field instead."
Yep.
And that's not where you want to be.
No, if you want him to throw more, if you don't want him to run the ball, have that conversation. This is the kind of thing where a coach was honest and. You know, you don't like the coach was honest. You like the honesty. That's great. I'm surprised that Vrabel doesn't play it a little softer and just think like, no, it's Logan's time. And then in the meeting say, you know, Malik, we're going to want you to throw the ball here. I mean, we know you have ability to run. You know, you've got gifts. It's great. It's the preseason. We're working on things. It might even be the kind of thing, Joe, where if it's the regular season, you get by with what you get by with. But in the preseason, you know, this is a practice round of golf. I don't want you to hit the driver, man. I need you to hit something else. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you say he might not succeed there, and I tend to maybe agree. But in Mike Vrabel's defense, I guess I would, instead of pulling him out of the game to make the point, I would just drive it home.
And
no matter what, please throw this ball.
And it's possible he did do that. Maybe the third quarter is when he got pulled.
Yeah.
It's possible Vrabel did that at halftime. That, hey, you're taking off when there's balls that can be thrown downfield that we want you to make. We want you to make these throws. He could have went to him at halftime and said that, and third quarter showed up, and he still wasn't doing it, and said, all right, that's it. I told you. I gave you a shot to go back in, and you didn't do it. Vrabel didn't detail that as to whether or not he said that to Willis, but I don't know. I think you got to be in the right – you have to have the right coach – the right system. You got to have someone that's willing to kind of let you be you and kind of work through the growing pains.
Well, isn't that what the NFL has been more of in the last decade?
It has.
Instead of getting players to fit into a scheme, they build schemes around players.
Yes.
I mean, this goes to every kind of quarterback. Mitch Trubisky said that last week, that the difference between Buffalo and Chicago was in Chicago, they sounded like Mike Vrabel. And here in Buffalo, it was, do whatever you got to do. Do you. You know, play your game.
Right.
And I'm sure they're going to correct you along the way.
We'll mold our offense around you, yes. Not the other way around.
Exactly.
We mold your game around what we want to do.
We're not asking you to do what we say or it's done, which he basically said was the case in Chicago where things fell apart. So it's an immediate storyline in Tennessee with what happened with Willis in that game.
To get back to Baltimore for a second, this is always my struggle with them. They get a lot of credit for that. They get a lot of credit for kind of molding their offense around Lamar Jackson and his legs, but I've always felt they've gone too far in that direction.
He's a better passer than even they give him credit for.
Yeah, I don't think they recognize how good a passer... Well, the thing is, have they ever even tried to develop him into a better passer than he is? Because if he's the... Let's say, just for sake of conversation, he's the 9th best passer in the league. Lamar Jackson's the 9th best passer in the league.
They treat him like he's the 23rd.
Sure. And I think being the 9th best passer in the league might be more valuable than being the best running quarterback in the league. Just if you can develop a passing offense around a guy like that and allow him to be him and use his legs and scramble and whatnot, I think that's the best way to do it. That's what the Bills did with Allen. It was, we're going to let you be you, but we're also going to take steps to develop you as a passer because we know you have to be elite in that area for us to win a Super Bowl. The Ravens built this offense around Lamar Jackson and then just said, yeah, we're good. This is it. They never added any major receiving talent around him. They never increased their neutral pass rate to kind of just let him kind of take his licks and get used to it. Route concepts. They have a coordinator that's never built an offense like that in the league. Like, I would be very frustrated in Baltimore almost for a different reason than I would be if I was in Tennessee, because I feel like they've gone too far in this area and have not focused enough on making sure that our guy is going to take steps and develop as an elite passer in the league, not just a runner.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. I was going to bring you something here. What was it? Ah, yes. Mention your garage door being ugly. If you want to win a new garage door from Clopay, enter for your chance to win the Hamburg Overhead Door Ugliest Garage Door Contest, a grand prize winner to be picked September 2nd. Enter by Sunday, August 28th at WGR550.com. This is what I was going to get to, the other NFL story. So the NFL is going to crack down, Joe, on roughing the passer, but they think there will be fewer penalties. I don't know how a crackdown results in fewer penalties, but that's what's going to happen. The league's officiating department, in consultation with the competition committee, is going to ease off some of the roughing calls. Forcible contact of the head or legs will still be properly ruled as roughing the passer. The incidental contact won't draw a flag as much. Walt Anderson, the NFL's SVP and head of officiating, has instructed officials of these new rules throughout the offseason. They're getting clarifications, but they want to make it so incidental contact is not flagged. Forcible contact is what they're going for.
Okay. But what's their theory? Their theory is we're going to call it more strictly, so now players will react to that and they'll ease up more. Like, I'm still confused as to how they think they're getting to less penalties.
Well, I'm going through this article here. They sent out training videos to teams warning quarterbacks that when they try to eke out a few extra yards along the sideline and get hit just as their foot begins to hover out of bounds, they won't be flagged for unnecessary roughness. So quarterbacks basically running away won't get the calls that, let's talk about Josh Allen here. You're not getting that call. If you're running, you're turning yourself into a runner, you're not getting that call. They recommend that officials focus more on second acts by defenders that take place immediately after a ball carrier steps out of bounds, whatever that ultimately means. But this gets to the conversation about body weight, like when you land on a guy, you don't have to do that. That'll be a penalty. The body weight portion, yeah, last year was the highest ever of roughing the passer calls. There were 149 roughing the passer calls last year.
I kind of like that, though. That has been taken advantage of by certain quarterbacks that I've seen the last couple years. I know that the defending player will get penalized if they touch me anywhere near the sidelines, so I'll take these extra 2 yards. And the defenders stand there and just kind of watch it happen. There was a play, actually, this is a long time ago now, was it the Steelers, where the Bengals player like let him kind of run up the sidelines?
Yeah.
It didn't push him out of bounds. So I'm good with this because I think you've had quarterbacks taking advantage of it in the last couple of years. But it also is maybe away from the trend of the league in the last 5 to 10 years of everything, every little thing they've done is will value quarterback health over making it impossible to play defense. Like, knowing, like, maybe even hearing the gripes of the defensive players and knowing that there's nothing they can do about it in a situation like that. You just have to give them the 2 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But saying, well, kind of tough luck because we've got to keep our quarterbacks healthy because that's what's driving all the money in the league.
Legend or no? Our favorite game with Joe DiBiase here. Connect with our fans, brought to you by the law firm of Gelber and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. Legend or no? Derek Jeter.
Yes.
You shouldn't have to think on that one. That's an easy yes.
Yes.
Lawrence Taylor.
Yes.
Serena Williams.
Yes.
Luke Kuechly.
No. No on Luke Kuechly.
Dan Marino.
Yes. Yes. On Dan Marino. Ooh, is that close, though? Yeah, Dan Marino's a legend.
Jeff Gordon.
NASCAR?
Yeah.
Don't know a lot about NASCAR, but I think so.
Andre Reed.
No.
Doug Gilmore.
No.
All right. Those are the ones I got tweeted into me.
Which one of those would you disagree with? Any?
No. I don't think I disagree with any of them.
But you wanted me quicker on the Jeter answer.
Yeah, Jeter should have been an instant yes.
Jeter should have been an instant yes. I feel like I had thoughts in my brain circling of, I'm not capable of making this argument, but haven't I seen people over the years say he actually, like numbers-wise, isn't one of the greatest shortstops of all time?
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. Still a legend.
So you can be a legend without having like the...
Being the best?
Yeah.
Yeah. Randy Johnson.
Sure, legend. You tell me Randy Johnson wasn't like an all-time great pitcher, though?
No, he popped into my head.
I don't know. That's a legitimate question. I don't know the answer to that, if he was.
Joe Namath.
This is the good one right here. I think he's yes on legend.
And he wasn't...
He had one game.
Yeah. He was not...
He had more than one game.
Yeah, but he was not a great quarterback.
No, but like 30 more interceptions than touchdowns for his career. A lot of those old guys, it's easy to do that with, but he like epitomized all that.
Steve Yzerman.
Yes.
Okay. A little longer on the wait there. I thought that'd be a quick yes.
A little bit.
But fair.
How many legends should there be in each sport? Two dozen?
Shelton Bulldog used to have, when you probably listened back in the day, the Earth Sports Fortress of Pantheon.
Yes, where someone would have to get kicked out to go in.
There were 26 or 25 people in it.
It's how every Hall of Fame on Earth should operate. I know why they don't operate that way. It's how they should, though. Yeah, I like that, too, though. Legend. Let's have a finite number of legends, and if someone achieves legend status, you take them out. So you know what, Ian Rappaport, you want to crown James White as a legend? Well,
Barry Sanders,
too bad. You're no longer considered one.
Yeah. See, that's an interesting approach. Kick somebody out if somebody's going to go in. Yeah. Say we got a capacity here. Hall of Fame can fit 113 persons, and if one's going in, one's coming out.
It would make every Hall of Fame leaps and bounds more interesting also.
Well, the worst part would be you would know who was on the bottom and who was on the bubble.
Right, because there would be like considerations each year about if this were actually a thing, this is why it'd be so cruel to the people that are actually in it. But
you just wait till they die.
Okay. You can make it like you're only eligible to be kicked out after you die.
How about you're only eligible to be in while you're alive?
Mm-hmm.
That way, like, all right, you've moved on now. We're going to celebrate living legends.
Because my thought would be, like, let's just use Andre Reed for an example. If he's in – if there was one year where, okay, we think T.O. is going in this year, who's coming out? It's T.O. versus Andre Reed, and they don't want to put T.O. in yet. Then the next year, Andre Reed knows that the next receiver that goes in, I'm out. Like, you would – the player would know that. But for us, it would be – Again, way, way more interesting if that's how Hall of Fame's actually worked.
803-0550. Check in on the Giants when we get back. Chris McGonigal covers the Giants, and we'll talk about how they looked last night. Daniel Jones, I think, you know, we're checking in on Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, seeing how that operation's going. So that's coming up next here on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Remember, kid, there's heroes and there's legends. Heroes get remembered, but legends never die.
It's from The Sandlot?
Yeah.
What part?
When Benny's like in his room and Babe Ruth comes visits him.
Are you talking about Talkback or on...
It was from The Sandlot when Benny's in his room and Babe Ruth comes out of the closet.
Oh, okay.
And...
Yeah. I was going to say, it sounded like a ghostly apparition of sorts.
Is that how... what's his name? Who was the
hologram?
Have you guys
seen The Sandlot?
I have. I'm about to prepare myself for Joe to say he has not.
Okay. I was going to say, you're scaring me.
I have not.
Man. Wow. Wow.
I have not seen The Sandlot.
We got Chris on the line. We can, you know, dust ourselves off. Get to something else here. Chris McGonigal on the line to talk a little Giants
we can
with us.
This.
We got to dust our. I mean, you really got to just. Chris, you ever met somebody that hasn't seen The Sandlot? Have you seen The Sandlot?
I mean, you guys haven't seen The Sandlot?
I have.
You don't know the dream sequence with Babe Ruth?
I didn't remember specifically the dream sequence, but I mean, I've seen it.
Yeah, that's what makes him realize he has to tackle the beast. I don't understand, but that's okay.
Jeez, anyway, Chris. All right, well, hey.
PF Flyers and go get it.
Yeah, instead of watching preseason football, Joe, The Sandlot. You should be watching The Sandlot.
I don't know, 59 on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm not sold.
What? 59 according to critics or fans?
Critics.
What do fans say?
Yeah. 89.
89 fans. Okay, there
that's
you go.
That's a pretty good ratio.
Yeah. Chris McGonigal with us from WFAN, covers the Giants, part of the afternoon show. And all right, Chris, so questions for you on the Giants. How things go last night? I mean, preseason football is what it is, but when there's a new when there's a new regime, anybody is looking for anything they can find to be optimistic about. And would you say that's been happening with Brian Daboll, with Joe Shane taking over there?
Yeah, no, we're the fan base. Everyone seems to be very optimistic. We love the hire. We love Buffalo South. It's what everybody wanted. Watching the Daboll era and experiment happen in Buffalo and watch him groom a quarterback, which is what they've been unable to do with Daniel Jones, is definitely excitement. What we saw from last night wasn't much. The offense was very vanilla. We're not even sure the play caller, Kafka, who called the plays last night, will call the plays come regular season. I expect he will, but we don't know for sure. Very vanilla. We saw Daniel Jones for two series. Galladay, yet again, looked lazy off his breaks, dropped a pass that could have been a touchdown. Barkley looked pretty good, but ultimately Shane Lemieux getting injured and walking good after and hoping it's not turf toe is really about the most exciting thing coming out of the game. I don't read too much into it. You're just trying not to deal with injuries and make sure everybody looks somewhat competent, and I think you got that last night.
Is this whole season, I mean, this might be an easy question to answer. Is this whole season about Daniel Jones? Like, is there any thought of, hey, they could surprise maybe, and the division's not that strong, and like fans might be focusing on what the record could be, but it feels like, year four of the quarterback, like that's what it's about?
The year four of the quarterback should never be about the quarterback, and it's kind of where the Giants are. For me personally, I think we're just waiting for the end with Daniel Jones, considering where he is, what you would have to do to keep him next year, either franchise tag him for the money you'd have to franchise tag him, give him a contract, which it's hard to imagine for a quarterback that they themselves have deemed they ruined by constantly giving him new coaches, constantly giving him new coordinators, constantly putting him in front of a poor offensive line. And despite the optimism with Brian Daboll, this is yet another offense, another new coach. Yeah, they've added some pieces to the offensive line. You expect the tackles to be much better with Thomas really coming into his own, and hopefully Neal is a special player here, top of the draft kind of pick. But it's been so poor offensive line-wise for so long, it'd be a very dramatic upgrade for it to be good enough to really feel like, oh, Daniel Jones has got a good look here with a good offensive line. So I'm not sure it's possible for Daniel Jones to play well enough to really make you feel like he's the guy moving forward. So, yes. The optimism on the overall wins is maybe they could be a little bit better than you think, but ultimately it's about where the team's going forward, and that's typically the quarterback. But on year four, I'm not very optimistic about where the Giants are at the quarterback position.
How about the weapons he has? Like, the thing you're getting to here is if your offensive line is that bad, people can kind of build in excuses. And ideally what you want to do is maybe have a situation like the Dolphins do where the weapons are good, the line has been rebuilt to a degree, no more excuses. With Daniel Jones, you've laid out the line. How does everybody feel about the weapons the Giants have?
Yeah, I mean, I think people feel pretty good about the weapons. Wandale Robinson has looked good in camp and looks explosive. We all know in the brief limited time we saw Tony last year that, I mean, there were times he was the most explosive player on the field. And that was during a Rams game. So, I mean, there's a lot of hope in, but he's been unable to play. Didn't play last night, obviously. But this Giant team has been unable to make weapons work. This offense was broken. You mentioned the Dolphins. Yeah, they had a bad offensive line. You know, Waddle still had 100 catches and 1,000 yards. That would take the Giants, a wide receiver, 10 years to get. I mean, they went 8 games without a wide receiver catching a touchdown pass. So, I mean, hopefully Daboll, who's been obviously much better at it in Buffalo, making weapons work, hopefully they get, you know, they line up Barkley, who can be healthy this year in different spots, even in the slot, maybe do different things with him because we know he's not a downhill runner. At least that's not his strength. So, yeah, there are some weapons. You feel pretty good about it. If the offensive line can get together, ultimately you could possibly see this offense work, but it's just been so long for a Giant fan that it's hard to fathom it getting right off the gate on a new offense with guys who've been unable to stay healthy. But if everything breaks right, yeah, there's a couple guys on this team that can be explosive.
We know Tyrod Taylor well too, and the Giants signed him to be their backup quarterback. What's the leash on Daniel Jones? Like, could you foresee them moving on him before the year is even over?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. When a new regime comes in, you know, when Shane and Dable will come in, most of the time they want their guys. And, you know, yes, they've talked, you know, Daniel Jones up. They've said, well, let's see what he could be with an offensive line. We believe in this and we believe in that. But ultimately, they didn't pick up his fifth-year option. And when you come in and run a brand-new team, you want your guys. And we know how important the quarterback position is. So could I see a struggle off the beginning of the year and the Giants lose a couple games out the gate and Daniel Jones doesn't look well and there's more interceptions than touchdown passes, and instead of continuing this experiment, we just move on and go to a player they feel more comfortable with that could run an offense and win some games for them? Absolutely. I think it would take extremely poor play, but there is definitely a scenario where Daniel Jones is not the quarterback for the entire season.
Joe over here might be betting that, right? Aren't you betting, Tyrod?
I've on our bet board in here, yeah. I've got 2023 Week 1 starter. Our afternoon show, Mike Shope, our host, Mike Shope, has Daniel Jones, and I have Tyrod Taylor. Anybody else, which might be the favorite, but anybody else, it's voided.
Yeah.
It's probably a rookie, right, next year? Is that the favorite?
I would think. Here's the problem with the Giants, fellas, and this is exactly, you know, say they are a little bit better than you think. Say Brian Daboll and Joe Shane have done a good job. They do a good job. This team progresses. The offensive line gets a little bit better. They win 8 games. They miraculously win 9 games. Daniel Jones plays okay, just well enough to function in an offense. Well, what do you do? Then you draft in 16, 15, somewhere in the middle of the draft. I don't know how you move up to get one of these quarterbacks that are going to come out of a better quarterback draft this year. And here you are right down the middle. Yes, it's better than where they've been the last handful of years, winning 4 and 5 games every season. But is that enough to either franchise tag him or give him a contract and move forward with him? And if not, is it a Tyrod Taylor year? Is it a go out and pay some middling, you know, average NFL quarterback to run your offense until you find that young quarterback? Do you trade every asset you have to move from 15, 16 up to 3, 4, whatever it's going to take to get one of these young quarterbacks? I mean, it's a tough season to try and get a feel on what the Giants are, who they're going to be, and what you'll want them to do. It's a very difficult season for the New York Giants, but at least they do have the faith in the new regime here.
That 8-9 win scenario, how likely is that to you? Because, again, like, to bring up the division, the Cowboys, like, they have Prescott, but there's holes on that roster, and the Eagles have had buzz, but I don't see them as, like, a surefire contender either. So I don't know, how vulnerable is the NFC East?
Yeah, I mean, I still think the Giants would have a tough time winning 8-9 games. I understand what you're saying. It's not the toughest division, and the Giants do have, you know, somewhat of an easier schedule this year, especially towards the beginning after Tennessee. But, I mean, it's still very unlikely to me. And call me just a jaded Giant fan. I mean, we're going on 8-9 years of getting out the gate terribly, having that spawn a horrible season. I mean, we do feel more confident in the coach, but We felt confident. You could not have been more confident in Joe Judge than you were after the beginnings of his tenure. So I still don't see it. I don't see the quarterback. The defense right now is going to be led under a guy in Wink Martindale who loves to try and get after the passer, loves to blitz, and that usually would need some kind of quarterback depth, and the Giants have absolutely zero. They haven't been able to get after the pass rusher forever. They have a couple guys up front that maybe can stuff the run, but they really, you know, you're hoping Thibodeau can be someone who get after the quarterback, but I don't know about their quarterback play. I don't know if they can get after the quarterback without the blitz, and if they blitz, I don't know if they have the defensive backfield to sustain that if they don't get home. So to me, it's still a flawed team. It's still a team in year one of a new regime. It's possible things can break right, but still very unlikely for me.
All right, Chris McGonigal of WFAN. Chris, thanks. Enjoy the season. Hopefully, you know, things happen for the offense the way they did around here with Brian Daboll running things, because
that would be that's what we're shooting for.
That's right. It was a good.
And guys, just, you know, catch up on some movies.
Yeah, we are.
You got to go. This
is like when company leaves. We're about to address this as a family here. You know. Thanks, Chris. Bye bye. Close the door.
No problem. Take care, guys. Have a great day,
Joseph.
Yes.
What do you have to say for yourself?
All right. Look,
I can't just find out you haven't seen The Sandlot and then go to a guest about the Giants, but, like, we did it.
We did. Right. We got through it. I don't think it's as bad as people are making it out to be.
It's bad.
It's bad.
It's bad.
Listen.
It's really bad.
It's a movie that came out 2 years before I was born.
Doesn't matter.
About a sport that I don't really like.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
When were you born?
1979. Guess what? You know what came out 2 years before I was born? Star Wars. I saw it.
Okay.
And I don't really like lightsabers.
Sandlot to Star Wars? Like, I know it's a... I'd almost called it is it a legendary movie? Sandlot. Where does it rank? Like, among movies I need to see, that, like, from before I was born.
Give us some other movies you haven't seen. Like...
I mean, this is it's a bad list.
It's bad?
There's this... Yeah. It's not
what,
a great...
What else
great
is on this list?
Caddyshack. Is that worse than Sandlot?
I could take it or leave it.
It's not worse than Sandlot, having not seen it. No, it's not worse.
Really?
No.
Because
it's worse having not seen Caddyshack. Or sorry, Sandlot. You should see both, of course. I'm not going to say which one's the better movie, but not seeing The Sandlot is a bigger foul.
Back to the Future?
The Sandlot's a bigger foul.
Wow. Then Back to the Future.
Yeah. Keep going. I like this. We play the legend game for you. This is my game. Sandlot's the biggest foul yet.
I know I've got more, but they're not coming to mind right now. What about... See, some of these I've done recently. Like, within the last couple of years, I saw Shawshank Redemption.
Okay. That would have been a bigger foul.
That one, I was... egregiously upset with myself that I had not seen it earlier. I've probably seen it at least one time since then.
You're raising your hand. You're saying this one's on me?
That one, 100% on me.
My B. That was me. Yeah. Are you going through, like, the AFI top 100 movies of all time? Or
I just typed in classic movies, and I'm looking at a list right now. West Side Story. Never seen that.
You don't have to do that. That's fine.
Never seen Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay. I mean, a lot of this is going to be your age. I get that.
Sure.
Sandlot.
Okay. No, I have one that's worse. I have one that maybe you'll even tell me is worse.
Sandlot came out before you were born?
Yeah, 1993, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I was born in 95. This one might be worse. Probably is worse. Just say it. Maybe you want to hit the break button, save me here. I don't know what you want to do here, Corey. Forrest Gump.
Sandlot's worse.
Wow.
Not for everybody.
Okay.
For you.
Sandlot's worse.
Yeah.
Might be the next one I watch. See, the good thing about me, though, is I'll find one of these movies I've never seen, and someone tells me, this is egregious, like, horrible job. I'll go out and watch it. For the most part, I'll go out and watch it.
See, what I'll often do is, if somebody hasn't seen a movie, like, all right, I mean, you probably should, but I'm not going to tell you it's going to change your life.
You're telling me Sandlot's going to change my life.
No, but there are plenty of times where I'll say, it's not going to be as good as it was when it came out. If you saw it today, or sometimes, you know, I'll know the person. I'll say, like, it's an all-time classic. I can't believe you didn't see it. It might be too late for you. Some don't hold up over time. What's a good example of a movie that
I think you gotta be a kid to enjoy The Sandlot too.
Yeah,
because I grew up watching it, so
yeah, like it's about. Did you play baseball as a kid growing up?
I did. Yeah, I played Little League until like what 13 years old.
Did you play pickup baseball with your friends?
Sometimes, but okay. not as much as other sports. But yeah, once in a while.
I mean, it's set back in a time where baseball is like the king, but so it's set back in.
Yeah.
Even before, I'm trying to think, like, what year is it? The 60s?
Oh, it's set
the
in
50s. The
60s.
50s. It's set in the 50s,
it's set
yeah.
In the, there you go. It's set in the 50s. So it will take you back no matter how old you are to a time. I mean, I wasn't alive in the 50s, but it definitely hit a chord for me because when I was in middle school, high school, I played pickup baseball with my friends every day during the summer.
Should I be turning my nose up at it because there's no actor on here that I've ever heard of?
Don't keep looking. Stop. Get away.
Okay.
You've also heard of Dennis Leary. He's in it.
Oh, I don't think I saw his name. Okay. I know Dennis Leary.
Dennis Leary is
Stop
in
looking?
It. Stop right. looking because there's an appearance that is part... The person that shows up is... Wow. Is good.
Okay.
And, of course, there's the beast. Hercules.
Huh?
Hercules. The dog.
Oh, we're still talking Sandlot.
Yeah. No, not the movie.
I thought this was a different movie.
Not the movie, the Beast with Idris Elba or Hercules starring The Rock.
Right.
No, there's a... Yeah. All right. Extendo Sports on the way. I'm going to get on a soapbox real quick on a thing that I'm very passionate about. Of course, it's the Elite season. And the Extra Point Show's on the way. I got to be honest. I think Sal might be coming for you in this Sandlot business.
Mm.
You might hear a lot.
It feels like a Sal movie.
I think it might be. It's an everybody movie. It is legitimately a wow. You haven't seen that. It's kind of shocking. Extendo Sports and then the Extra Point here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, Sal's checking in. He's going to be along with the Extra Point, along with Joe. Sal, we have a development. I found out that Sal has seen The Sandlot recently. Joe got a text from his fiance. She's shocked.
Wow.
She didn't know. He hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
Well, I was actually really embarrassed, guys, because I had not seen it until, like, over the last few years. I had gone all this time without watching it, and many of my friends were like, what are you talking about? You've never seen it. And then I watched it, and then I said, oh, my God, Max would love this. We watched it together, and now he's seen it multiple times, and he's 8.
And does it live up to it?
Oh, I think it is a total coming-of-age movie. Baseball movie. It's all that intertwined. There's a lot of great, great, like, one-liners that still live to this day. You're killing me, Smalls.
Yep.
I mean, like, we do that one.
The whole Twitter right now is people just screaming at me, you're killing me, Smalls.
Right, exactly.
The whole day is going to be that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that I think it is a good movie. It's not like an all-time classic in the sense of you need to see this movie, but I don't know how anybody...
That's how it's being perceived right now, I feel like.
Let me rephrase.
Maybe not classic, but you've got to see it status.
Yeah, I think that anybody who does our job for a living, anybody who likes sports should definitely see it, but it's also a good coming-of-age movie, even if you don't like sports.
Yeah, I think it's just a good movie. We were talking about other baseball movies, like Field of Dreams is more of an adult movie, and... If it's Rookie of the Year, that's a goofy comedy kid movie. This is just a legitimately good movie about baseball. And, you know, the place that it had in, I guess, in anybody's life. When you're a kid, when you're a parent, when you... All that stuff. It's a great movie. So, anyway.
Can I just tell you the baseball movie that I like that I think people look at me and go, what? It's also kind of not a baseball movie? But I think it is, and that is For Love of the Game. It's actually like a love story, but it is a great baseball movie as well to me.
That's Kevin Costner, right?
Yes, it is. And it is Vin Scully, like, in perfection as well. Yeah. He announces the game as he's going for his perfect game. And what happens in the movie is Kevin Costner's on the last legs of a great career as a pitcher. He's going for a perfect game, and intertwined between each inning, they look back on his life, basically, and how he got to that point. And Vin Scully is the play-by-play guy for what's going on the field.
I have not seen that movie. Maybe I should.
Oh, you should. I think you'd like it. You need to watch it with Molly. That's what I think you need to do.
All right. Maybe we will. When do we find time?
I don't think I'm going to cave to public pressure.
I'm just going
to be the guy that's never seen Sandlot.
Oh, man.
I'm going to own it.
Look at you.
What do I mean, at this point.
What are you, Nate Geary out here just saying bad things against Guns N' Roses?
Right.
I do not think not seeing Sandlot. I saw your tweet. I do not think me not seeing Sandlot is worse than that.
On the level of saying that Guns N' Roses wasn't as good as Velvet Revolver?
Come on. It's not even close.
It's a very specific tweet that Nate had last night. And I would say that, yes, not seeing Sandlot is on the level of thinking
Come on.
He thought people just kind of jokingly liked Guns N' Roses, which, of course, is ridiculous.
Right.
My God.
Look at you. You're out here just to be a provocateur. You're just going to refuse to see Sandlot.
I might just refuse to see Sandlot.
Wow. I'm getting you the DVD.
I watch TV shows.
Jeremy,
got time for movies.
That's the wedding
there you
present.
Go. What's the last TV show you watched?
Me?
Yeah.
Did I finish Stranger Things?
Okay. That's really good.
Oh, no, actually, The Bear.
Okay.
The Bear was short. There's only like eight episodes. So I would have finished that after Stranger Things.
Up next, season 3, Bluey. Let me tell you, it's amazing. Anyway. All right, Extra Point Show's on the way. Sal and Joe, as we get ready for tomorrow's game against the Colts, preseason game number 1. Extra Point, up next here on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.